In light of everything happened this morning, let's open up our Bibles to Psalms. We're going to look at it in Psalm chapter 76. I'm sorry. Let's do Psalm 77. I'm sorry. Psalm 77. The psalmist, of Asaph. The psalmist right here writes here in Psalm 77. I cried aloud to God. Aloud to God. And he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearing. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years of long ago. And I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. That my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever? And never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? If you guys can notice so far, just with our mind and what we have just able to experience right now is that many of us, how can we be comforted at this time? With trials and tribulations around us, why did this even happen? And this psalmist is dealing with a similar situation. He's questioning the Lord with his situation. Has his steadfast love forever ceased? This is a psalm. This is Asaph. He is the one that deals with the music and everything with the Levitical priesthood. And he's asking these questions in his day. Are his promises at the end forever all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has his anger shut up in his compassion? If God is compassion, why do we go through what we went through today? Verse 10, then I said, I will appeal to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will return to the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wondrous word, wonders of old. Something term right here. There's some of this now I'm saying he remembered the things of old. Look at verse 12. I will ponder all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the people. You with your arm redeem your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Verse 15. When the water saw you, O God, when the water saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightning lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hands of Moses, by the hand of Moses and of Aaron. If you guys notice, the psalmist, in verses 10 to 20, the psalmist's demeanor and posture changed for the first 9 verses. The first 9 verses, we see this chaos. The first 3 verses, we see how God is dealing with, and Asaph is dealing with this, how God has forsaken them. So for us today, in the first 3 verses here, I think these verses relate to us today. Sometimes we can feel that God has forsaken us. The young man was in the car, he was riding to the hospital, was crying out, like, why did this happen? How could this happen? What have I done wrong for this to happen? Have God forgotten us? in the first three verses deal with this, while crying out how God forgotten us. This person right here in the first three verses deal with this. This person is feeling this anguish. They're feeling destitute in this psalm, and it reveals us in this heading of the psalm. I cry out aloud to God. Again, Asa, we know it. I think 1 Chronicles 16 and 7. Asa was the chief Levitical musician. If he's a chief Levitical musician, he is the one that spent a lot of time with the high priest. He knows God's word. He has studied God's word. But why is he so doubtful in the first three verses? So the summons right here is being vulnerable with us, sharing with us the pain and anguish that he's experiencing right now. And how can he focus on the Lord when it's in the Lord is nowhere to be around? So the psalmist says, I cry out to God. Crying is a sense of urgency, a dependence on God. But I tell you here, but this cry is not a bold, urgent cry. It's a doubtful cry in 77. Look in verse 1. Verse 1, we look at it and say, I cried out aloud. In English, it seemed like he was crying out to God for help, but that's not the case. This cry right here is a doubtful cry. This cry right here is a word that we know in Hebrew is a cohortative verb. It's a wistful cry. This was not an imperative cry, like he truly cried out to the Lord. He's not truly crying out to the Lord. He is doubtful as he's crying out to the Lord. He doesn't believe who the attributes and he doesn't believe what he knows about the Lord in this moment. A lot of times, when situations happen, we know all the theology in the head. We know those right things. We know those things. But it's kind of hard to embrace and truly believe those things, right? When trials are coming our way, and that's what the psalmist is saying, is that I'm trying to cry out, but I can't cry out to the Lord. It's a cohortive verb. This wrist will cry out. But something is causing him to doubt the mercy of the Lord. So Asa cries down a bold cry to God. But it's a doubtful, emotional cry to the Lord. This cry is not like David in Psalms 3, verse 4. I cried aloud to the Lord, cried out to the Lord, and he answered me. That's a different cry. David was after God's own heart. But Asa cries different from David. But also Asa cries different from Jesus. When Jesus in Matthew 27:46, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried with a bold cry to his Father. But in English, it seemed like they cried out. But we find out here, this cry of Asa was crying was so doubtful. And how do we know it's doubtful? It says, rest alone in verse 4. Say, aloud to God, and he will hear me. Asa tells us that the Lord would hear him, which we know the Lord hears the cries of his people, but Asa's mind is occupied on something else than God. So what Asa's doing, Asa is throwing out things. Say, God, care about me. God, provide for me. God, hear me. He's crying these things out, but he don't believe these things. This is doubting. And this doubt that Asa has is rooted in fear at this moment. The psalmist is not confident in knowing that God will hear him. Because he uses this cohortative verb. But he speaks scripture, but not really truly believing the scriptures that he's saying. Family, have we been there before? Are we there right now? What we experienced this morning, we're trying to get our mind around everything and say, if God is so good, God is so sovereign, why can't I just trust him right now? Why can I rest in him right now? We quote scriptures, we sing great hymns, but when the going gets tough, I think we're just like Asaph right here. When times are hard, we're just like Asaph right here. Asaph at this moment wasn't trusting the faithfulness of the Lord, but was trusting his doubtful flesh. And Asaph knew the right thing. Look at verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hands are stretched out without wearying. He said that he knew the word of God, but finished in verse 2 with more doubt. My soul refuses to be comforted. Look at the end of verse 2. My soul refuses to be comforted. He's trying to seek the Lord, but his soul can't be comforted. And the psalmist used another cohort of verb, which is wishful thinking in verse 3. When I remember God, in English, it seemed like he truly remembered of it in verse 3. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit. It's another cohort of verb, the word remember. The word remember is Azekar, where we need to get the name from Zechariah. The same word right here, the same another cohortative right here. So this verb in this cohortative imperfect, which implies possible wishing again. He's not truly trying to remember the Lord. Because the pain and things he's going through is just so unbearable for him. It's like when somebody going through a trial and tribulation. And they try to quote scripture and try to be reminded of the Lord. They know who to turn to. But it's just so difficult to rest in. And some of it brings down to verse 4 through 9. It gets to how you ever try to like remember the Lord, but the pain won't go away. And verses 4 through 9 gets you now with this physical weakness that's taking place. Look at verse 4. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Ace of eyelids. Right here. And not being able to speak. It's a display of the utmost physical struggle of Asaph. We see more doubtful thinking. Look in verse 5 and 6. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate it in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. He does the same thing again with another cohort of verb, remember. This cohort of verb again deals with this wishful thinking again. Let me remember. But for him, he's just so occupied of what just happened in his life that he can't remember. So it's time to try to meditate deeply for the Lord. But the pain and what he's experiencing just wouldn't go away. This carnal fear produces physical weakness and doubtful remembrance. But what if all these things eventually point to? Can I really trust God? And Asaph is, regardless, can I truly trust God? If all this is happening around me, if God is saying he's the God of Israel, can I truly trust him? If I can trust him, why did I go through why I'm going through what I'm going through? So can I truly trust God? And it leads to us even followers of Christ today. If we're truly following after Jesus, we're truly believing in Christ, why does God allow these things to happen? If we take up our cross and follow Jesus, we're going to get all the joy in Christ. Why am I feeling this way? Why I can't rest upon you when I want to rest upon you? So how do we get to this point in life that we're doubtful for what God has done? But the sum is right here. Let me speed up with this. Now, some have five doubtful questions now about God. So the situation happened, right, with the Asa. And Asa wasn't careful like he wanted to be careful about God. So Asa was not patient waiting on God. So what does that lead to the next thing in your heart? It's to question the character of God. When trials come our way, eventually, our flesh is going to try to get us to question God. Every single time. And that's what happened here. That's the first question, first verse 7. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? So the first question, question God's eternal covenant. Has God rejected us forever? If you have God that never leaves us forever, leaves us and forsake us, why is he asking this question, will God spurn forever? He noticed, there's no way he'll be in the temple with David. There's no way he'd be in the temple with the high priest if he didn't believe these things about who God is. So he knew right theology. But when trial came his way, now it revealed his heart and his character that he don't truly believe what he said he believed. Look at question number 2, verse 8. Has his steadfast love forever ceased? The second question questions God's love now. It deals with God's love. Has God stopped loving his people? Are his promises at an end for all times? The third question God's promises now. Has God taken away his promises towards his people? This is verse 9. Has God forgotten to be gracious? The fourth question God's grace. Has he removed his special grace from his people? Family. This is us. When things doesn't go as planned in our lives, we question God. We try to remember God, but things doesn't happen the way we want to, it leads us to start doubting God. So the sons are the lowest place one can get. He doubts God's covenant. He doubts God's love. He doubts God's promises. He doubts God's grace. He doubts God's compassion. So the son of Asa is terribly shaken by the quietness of the Lord. By the Lord not restoring him in this moment, he questioned the Lord. To the conclusion of all this, the son is about in his flesh. He want to remember the Lord. He want to understand the Lord. In light of all what he's going through, in light of all of what we're going through, we want to understand and trust and rest in the mercies of the Lord. But our flesh is so weak. He is doubting God, that God hasn't worked on Asa's timing. And even for us, in the midst of all the stuff we have experienced, we doubt God because God didn't work the way we wanted him to work. And our hopes were built up in a way that God was going to do everything we wanted him to do. And they bring about anxiety. They bring about depression. They bring about doubt. So how will Asa get out of this? How can we get out of this tough spot? How would this happen? It brings us now to the last 10 verses. Remember the Lord is faithful to rescue his people. Look in verse 10. Then I said, I would appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. And I would suggest that verse 10 is the most important verse in this whole psalm, is verse 10. It answered a foundational problem in the struggle of the psalmist. Who is causing the grief in the life of the psalmist? Let me read it from the NASB. Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. It is my grief, just that it is my piercing. It is my wound. So that some of them admit that it is the one, he is the one that is causing the grief. It is not God. The psalmist gets that right in this verse is that it is his grief. He even finished in the NASB translating as admitting that he thought that the right hand of the Lord had changed. His grief has called him to think that the Lord's hand had changed. Ace of grief and depression derived from his assuming that God had changed. Since he hadn't answered Asaph in a crucial time of need. Family, this is us. We doubt God's mercy. We doubt God, who he is, again, because he doesn't work the way that we want him to work. This is why the son is the lowest point. He questioned the personal attributes of God since he couldn't get his way in this certain moment. So Asaph admits that it's his grief that is causing this doubt. What took Asaph so long? What took Asaph so long to see that it was his own heart that was unfaithful? That his own heart was the problem. It took the suffering to the point of him to see an amazing Savior, which is God. God allows suffering so that Asaph would be rescued by a wonderful Savior. God is not the author of evil. God is not the author of sin. But God allows sin, God allows evil for God to come in and rescue us. The reason why we're struggling in hard times is not because God is breaking his covenant and his faith and his promises. But we struggle because we trust in our strength over God's strength. We trust in our wisdom over God's wisdom. We at that moment think we are wiser than God. We think we know what's best in God. But we are creatures and God is the creator. So after Asaph figured this out, what was the problem? It was him not submitting that God knows what's best. So listen to what Asaph do now. The psalmist remember God's power throughout the Old Testament. Let me just do verse 11 and we can finish up here. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Did y'all catch on to that? I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I remember your wonders of old. When the psalmist see his carnal heart, it's the cause of the pain. Now he truly remembered the works of the Lord. And you want to find something out as well? In verse 11, that word remember is not a coercive. We saw in verse 1. We saw in verse 3. We saw, I think, in verse 6. All this coercive verb is wishing for that I want to remember. I can't remember. The psalmist is not using wishful words coercive anymore. The psalmist is saying now, I do remember the Lord. What happened? You remember the Lord. We recall the deeds of the Lord. Now it's not a possibility of the psalmist that he can remember, but now it's a certainty. He remember what the Lord has done. In verse 12 it says, I will ponder all of your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. When the psalmist got out of his flesh, he knew God was sovereign, that God is in control, God knows what's best in the midst of time we don't know. If God is a good God, God allows things to happen for his own good pleasure. If it's for God's good pleasure, family is for our good. Even if we don't understand. God does everything for his own good, and God does everything for our good. We might ask the question, well, God, could it be done this way? Could it be done that way? That is not our place to be in the place of God. God knows exactly how he wants his glory. God knows exactly how he wants to care for people. And the psalmist didn't understand that at first because of the pain. But eventually, how God reveals himself through his word, the psalmist came into recognizing this is the same God of Israel. You remember when Israel was enslaved in bondage? You remember they couldn't cross the Red Sea? You remember they were in turmoil with Egypt. You remember, they couldn't get out of there by their own strength. But you also remember that God's hand was on Moses. God's hand was on the Red Sea. Even though the people don't want to go back, they didn't understand what the Lord was doing. They even questioned Moses, said, Moses, let's go back to Egypt into bondage. They didn't understand. They didn't understand what God was doing. But God was working in a way to bring glory to his name. And family, today, in the midst of how we don't understand all what happened today, everything God does is for his own glory. And we can rest upon that. Regardless of an outcome, the rest of this day, that God is going to care for us. God is going to love us. He's a God that doesn't leave his people when trials come. He clings closer to his people. We can rest upon him. We can find our refuge in him. So family, today, let us not doubt God's mercies, but let us run to God. Let us find our true rest in him and him alone. And by finding our rest in him alone, we won't have to doubt remembering the Lord. We can truly remember him. Let me pray for us.